Hello, lovelies and others, for this is our monthly open Q&A. People can ask questions in the little text box, and hopefully I'll see them. If I don't see them, complain, and hopefully somebody will tell me that I've missed something, and then I'll see something. But it's lovely to see so many people coming in on a Friday night. I've got all our questions, both the ones that were put in the place that they're supposed to be and the ones that were put in places where they're not, I hope, or I assume, or let's just wish me luck there. I've titled this on Trial by Jury because it really does matter. I was talking to my father, and it is just something that is so fundamental. I mean, when I teach the Constitution, or when I do my series on the Constitution, a lot of that is from Dicey, and Dicey just thought that trial by jury was so settled, he doesn't even bother talking about it. It's not in his index. He doesn't have a chapter on it because he just thinks that it's so settled that we would have trial by jury, that nobody would be bonkers enough to get away with it. And many times we are living through the maddest period of British history, certainly in terms of establishment behaviour. I cannot think of any government that would seriously propose ending trial by jury to this extent. I mean, Blair, the sneaky little Fabian that he is, got rid of trial by magistrate, and I didn't feel able to speak up. I had no platform back then. You know, it is wrong, and we'll get on to discuss what the replacement, which was district judges. I don't really like the system. The sneaky lot have expanded the range of punishments a district judge can give. It used to be 6 months, it's now 12. I'm not sure I'm happy with that. So I think ultimately I will lead a campaign to try and get magistrates back. But at the moment, the campaign is very clearly to do two things. To get Biscuit to go back on his mat, good dog, and to stop the removal of trial by jury. Every dictator in history, I know, Mike, every flavour of socialism, because socialism is authoritarianism. And I'm absolutely fed up that one flavour of socialism calls the other another flavour of socialism right wing. It's like, they're not right wing. They're just socialists you don't like. Stop saying that they're right wing. They don't believe in a small state. They don't believe in free market capitalism. They don't believe in honesty, truth and integrity in institutions. They don't believe in these things. They are not right wing. Everybody's having lovely chats. I noticed some very lovely chats in the comments, which is nice. That's the point. We are a community. I always say that, you know, we the lovelies are a gathering of very special people. As YouTube has passed another milestone, I've had 2 million views in the last, I think, 3 months, and 80,000 subscribers. YouTube will never be as special as here, ever. That, you know, this is just such a better group. And I'm going to go on to praise Denise later. But we are just, I'm just so proud of all of us. And this is why I want us to be able to meet. We are just the lovelies. We are the nicest corner of the internet. And one of the best ways to fight the tyrants, one is to laugh at them. So I hope everybody enjoyed my Rachel Reeves joke about the allegations that she told the truth when she was a child. Because it tickled me, and laughing at these people is almost always one of the best ways to fight them. The other is to simply not give in and simply insist and demand that loveliness survive. Has anyone heard back from the king? I wonder if they're starting to go, why are we getting all of these letters? What's going on? What's this all about? Because of course the king, there's no reason why the king would be even aware of me or anything I say, although I did just, I think I might have said something about the king on talk radio. I don't think I called for petition on talk, but that looks as though it's going viral. But I still don't see any reason why the king would know about me. When you write to the king, do you all include an address for return so that you can be acknowledged? Because and I'm sure you all do, because you're all, you know, properly brought up, but maybe we'll just flag that to others, that we should include a return address so that the king can write back, because then that creates the sort of the obligation on the king to do something. And don't just write once to the king. You can write many times to the king. As long as you're always polite to the king. Trial by jury is without question the most important story. I almost didn't want to pay any attention to the budget because of it. She has lied during the budget and she needs to go, but they all need to go. They actually need to disband. This government is pathetic. I've said, and I genuinely believe, that Labour would be Labour's only chance of survival, I think, now is for Blue Labour to take over. That's Maurice Glassman's institution, and the actual members of the Labour Party who know about working class people and care about them. And I think they need to take over. I think they need to formulate a manifesto, a view for the country and how we run it, that isn't just we'll let the civil servants do whatever they say. And then I think they need to go for a general election. And even if they lose, I think they need to stick with Blue Labour principles and keep arguing for them until they can persuade people that they are correct. This idea, we've switched from a substantive form of politics where you're putting forward an argument and you're trying to persuade people that this is right, to this very narcissistic idea that actually it's all just about the charisma of the leader. And if a leader is rejected, we shall just get rid of him. Remember, Kinnock fought many elections and got the Labour Party back into a better shape because of it. Giving up immediately is not but just because you didn't win. It's sort of the least British thing that you can actually do. That's and you know, I'm loath to praise Kinnock now because I think whatever he's become in his old age, it's not in any way attractive. And I think he's utterly bought by corporate socialism and Fabianism. And I think he's part of this eugenics cult that we're now seeing. But back in his day, that was somebody to be proud of. If I was Starmer's wife, I would have head for a convent. If I was Starmer's wife, I would have put tea. I would have put poison in his tea. And if I was Starmer's wife, I would have drunk it. That's what I'll say about being Starmer's wife. Right. First question is from Marilyn. Is Rupert Lowe not joining Advance UK because he's waiting to see if Farage bails out that he may join Reform? Marilyn, what psychic powers do you think I have? I don't know what is in Rupert's mind or in Rupert's heart. And I do think we need to stop sort of second guessing and just take arguments on their merits. And just, you know, Rupert is doing what he's doing. I think a lot of it is good. He's not a party, which I think was the right move. I think another party is perhaps unhelpful. And I'm also a great believer that you don't necessarily need a politician, particularly a politician, to be an ideological believer in doing what's right. You just need them to realize that their entire self-interest lies in the direction of doing what's right. And then eventually the politician will go, my entire self-interest, that's really important. I must do what is right. And that's how we get people to be doing good. So don't worry about any of them, because I've heard conspiracy theories about all of them. And that's not a criticism of us, because we just live in a mad age. So trying to rationalize a mad age is a very difficult thing to do. And people are behaving madly. Nick Bowles used to be a Conservative MP and has written in favor of assisted murder and said that it's only a Conservative conspiracy that's trying to stop mass state killing. It's just like, I cannot reconcile this fact. I cannot rationalize why this is. When were you a Conservative? At what point? So I just think we just need to stick with the times. Don't worry too much about theory. Make it very, very clear that we are the public. We are the majority. You will do as we say. That is where our power will lie. And that's not for me to wield that power at all, ever. All I should ever do is empower you and hope that you empower others. As I don't want any power. Never have. Christina asks about Peter Whittle. Yes, maybe I should have said something about Peter Whittle. I didn't know him terribly well, but I do know New Culture Forum and I do a lot of work for them. He's a titan of a man who set up such an important organization. I actually only briefly met him across a very crowded room after the diagnosis. And I looked at him, we made eye contact and, you know, I just nodded my head out of respect and he smiled. And that's about as much engagement as I ever had with Peter Whittle. But he's a remarkable man and hopefully has set this country on a far better path, as I hope we shall. And a great reminder that we are not here forever, because our enemy and the Fabians and the Marxists, they suffer from this delusion that they will be here forever. We will not be here forever. So what we do while we're here matters. A new low in political debate. William, I bet they'll find a new one. don't say they stop now. But it's pretty pathetic. The attack on Nigel for something he allegedly said in the playground by a grown man is just pathetic. I mean, that is just pathetic. We should utterly reject it on no basis other than this is utterly pathetic. You are pathetic. Go away. You are not a grown up and you are just an old wrinkly child. Who, by the way, does work with the BBC. Carolyn, would you, Stephen, be prepared to do a template for writing to the King Crown? Now, I don't want to be, again, I don't want to tell anybody off, Carolyn, and I note that people do write draft templates, and that's fine, and I support people who write draft templates in the chat, and maybe the chat's a good place to put them. Personally, I'm very suspicious of draft templates because I've talked to too many MPs who go, the minute I think it's a draft template or a, you know, automated, you know, that they've just done, they haven't put the effort in, I just delete them all. Okay, so there is that risk with automation and making it not look bespoke. But on the other hand, I appreciate that sometimes these things are scary. I've sort of forgotten how it can be scary to speak in public. But, you know, I'm raising my child and my child is absolutely terrified of speaking in public. And that the reason I can't remember that it's terrifying to speak in public is because I've been doing it ever since I was 10. And I worry about everything every day. And I don't think I've got space to worry about speaking in public. I've got far too many worries in my head. So it's just one of those worries that sort of quietly fell away. The more you write, the more comfortable you'll be. If the first time you write, you need a template, go for it. It's better to do something than do nothing. Always. Okay. How to address the king in particular? Well, dear sir is the common way by letter. And the more formal way would be your majesty. But I can't imagine he would object to dear sir. And I think it puts you on a better footing because whilst we do like deference and we do like formality, he's not actually better than any of us. This is just a constitutional system. And this is just a mechanism. And, you know, we're not serfs. We are free voting citizens in a modern democracy. But Your Majesty, the first time, then sir. Sure, do that. But we're always respectful and polite, but we're not slaves. We're not servants of people. These people are our servants. So don't worry. Right, Mike. Can either I missed the part of Mike's question last week, apparently. So this is it. But can either the DPP or CPS forcibly take over a private prosecution? Yes, Mike, they can. The CPS can take it over. Whether the DPP orders them to or somebody lower down orders them to, the CPS is the body that can take over a private prosecution. And then they can shelve it. And they've done that in quite dodgy circumstances before. So you ask, in which case is private prosecution then no teeth? No, because you can judicially review them. And you can create a massive stink in the press. So if you brought a private prosecution that the public think has merit and the CPS take it over and ditch it, that's going to cause a hell of a stink. We'll tell Alison Pearson, we'll tell me, and a lot of noise that shall there be in the land. And as we actually, I think, hopefully now know, political power, noise, these are much more important and powerful than court orders. This is genuinely where power in this country lies. The power is in the Shire. It always has been. It always will be. I have the honour to remain, sir, your loyal subject. Mary, that might be going a bit too much. But when if I ever reject an invitation that I'm from somebody I really don't like, I tend to use there's an incredibly formal way of rejecting an invitation, saying, you know, but stating my full name and then say, Stephen, full name, Barrett, thanks so-and-so for that kind invitation to blah, 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 blah. I'm usually quite rude in that bit, and then which he is unable to accept. I like using formality just to be rude, but that's just because I'm me. We shouldn't be deferential at all at any time. And Kemi's being brilliant on, aren't you being rude to Rachel? Shut up. She's our servant. She's supposed to do her job. She's incompetent and she lied. Shut up. And I think we're going to have to start talking like this in public much more. And then Mike Hillary asks a second question. Since farm vehicles can enter London legally, what stops the farmers demonstrating individually? So I'm going to do a piece on this, with a lovely, I've forgotten her name because I'm middle-aged, but Emma Trimble. Yes, Emma Trimble wants to do an interview on this. So there'll be more to come on this, Mike. But broadly speaking, they use the powers they have to control protests to ban the vehicles. They have immense powers about protests. The ones they always absolutely forget they have whenever the protest hurts is racist towards Jews. And then they performatively pretend they haven't got it. And a lot of criminal lawyers will go on Twitter when I say that they've got all these powers going, no, they haven't. And so we're going to do an interview around this. What I think people need to know is that when the Weimar Republic fell and switched to being Nazi Germany, the judges just stopped being Weimar Republic judges and started being Nazi judges. They didn't have to recruit any more judges. The lawyers stopped being Weimar lawyers and began being Nazi lawyers. Don't stop thinking my fellow lawyers are going to save us or are in any way particularly moral or good. Ali asks, should Islam be viewed as just a religion? We have this a lot with religions, particularly when they fall into naughtiness, as all religions eventually do. They always have periods of good times and periods of bad times. The one particular challenge for us was the Scientology, but we do recognize that as a religion, so it gets the tax breaks. Islam, should it be viewed as just a religion? I think you can grade religion on how much they interfere in the lives of their worshippers. And Islam is quite interfering in the lives of its worshippers. So is Judaism. Protestant Christianity less so. Catholic Christianity quite a lot so. But all religions vary in that degree. They are philosophical structures. They are belief systems. We respect them because we are respectful to our fellow humans. And I would like people to respect them. They don't have to worship my religion, but, just not be rude about my religion. I mean, they can be. And if it's funny, then that's funny. I mean, Rowan Atkinson is hilariously funny. And The Life of Brian, I mean, I would never have complained about that. And I think actually I always remember that interview where the bishop was terribly rude and Michael Palin looked genuinely hurt because he's obviously a genuinely nice person. And they made it pretty expressly clear that it wasn't Jesus. Because just at the end, there's Jesus over there on Calgary. So I don't find... we're going to talk about it more. What we're not going to do is shut up about these things for fear of being called racist, because we're not racist, so go away. John, Stephen, political parties all get to power based on a manifesto. Should this manifesto be a legal document? John, this is a recurring question and a recurring theme. There is one huge problem with making it a legal document, and that's that our judges are human. So what if the judge deciding whether Labour has kept or broken its manifesto promise is Lord Justice Bean, the former leader, former chair of the Fabian Society? I want to take all politics away from judges so that they can go back to being brilliant and impartial again. But this would push massive political power on the judge. Imagine a judge who's actually honest, who the public think that a political party have broken their manifesto. Technically, they haven't. The judge is honest and says, no, actually, they haven't. And then the judge gets lynched. I mean, take all this away from judges. We're currently going through a sort of narcissistic outburst from the Lady Chief Justice, and quite a few others, the Lords Constitutional Committee, where they're all going, you can't be rude about judges! You can't be rude about judges! You awful plebs! And it's like, no, we can be rude about judges. What you want to do if you want to protect judges is take them away from politics, okay? Take them away from it. Don't send a Supreme Court justice to give a political speech in Mauritius, which is what happened this week. Don't do it, because the judge is likely to get criticism. Yeah, I criticized him on national telly. That's what I'm going to do. Don't, if you want to protect judges, and I do, keep them away from politics. It's plutonium. It will not help them. Do not make them wear lovely, shiny plutonium necklaces. It's a bad idea. Jill says, when can this government and the blob working against us be tried for treason? And would it not be trial by jury? It should be trial by jury, Jill. We're sticking with trial by jury, okay? Even for these awful politicians. I don't know whether we'll get to treason trials. I hope we won't. But you have to be at all points able to do that, or you're not a serious society and you may as well give in and give up. Every human society has to have a concept of treason. And if they commit treasonous acts, then they should be prosecuted. It is unhelpful when my fellow lawyers go, oh, treason, it's so old-fashioned. You can't even say it. That's absurd. It's like, no, not helpful. Not helpful, you regime shill. Leslie says, what can be done to stop the scrapping of juries? Well, Leslie, we talk about this. But again, it's this return to this idea that lawyers are not going to help you. Okay, so we're going to help us. Do you believe that we will actually lose the jury? Says Johnny. Not if we fight back, Johnny. Yes, if we give in. That is the answer. So we're not going to give in. We must not give in. You know, I do everything I can with my voice. I hope everybody does everything they can with their voice. I don't mind if you think your voice is a lot smaller than mine. It's still a voice. Every voice matters. Every voice helps. Okay, we'll get on to what Denise has achieved. Again, Denise really is like star of the class when it comes to getting politically engaged. So she's a nasty swat and you should all bully her. Yeah, obviously nobody should bully Denise. Ian says, hi, Stephen and the lovelies. Double tapping this one, as I think I've been in the wrong place. Substack is an odd app. Well, I think everyone agrees with you there, Ian. Can we please, odd app, lovely place. Nice people. Maybe that's why we come here. Maybe the nasty people just can't deal with it, so they run away. Maybe it sort of somehow protects us from the nasty people. Can we please have a quick blast about jurisdiction? Yes, okay, Ian, we can have a look at jurisdiction. And I might do a video on it for you, Ian, during the week, because I think jurisdiction does keep coming up and it massively confuses people, largely because it is so conceptually difficult. I mean, I genuinely say that. So there is a type of lawyer or type of person, and my father would purport to be one. I just deny that they exist, as it's conceptually much easier for me to do, that calls themselves comparative lawyers. And they say that they compare legal systems. The reason I don't think that can in any way exist, certainly not in a grandiose way, is that to compare a legal system, you'd have to know all of the legal system. Ours is massive, and I know, and I'm quite brave in quite a lot of our legal system. I do not know it all, and there's whole areas I won't go. Do you see me mouthing off about tax law? So, you know, the very premise is absurd. The idea that you can know a legal, and then you could know two full legal systems. Okay, I'm starting to get woozy. You can know two full legal systems, and then you can compare them. Billy Jimmickers, as they might say. But every legal system is conceptually the same, or I think they all are. I fell into that trap again. Ian, every jurisdiction thinks it has absolute jurisdiction over everywhere. And I mean everywhere. We think we have legal jurisdiction over the moon, and so does every single other legal jurisdiction. If we can ever get to the moon in a sizable way and there's anything valuable there, we're going to have one hell of a fight about the moon. There's going to be a massive war about who actually owns the value. You know, if we find valuable minerals or whatever, there's just going to be a massive fight about it. If we ever get to the asteroid belts and there's a massive meteor made out of gold, that's going to cause a hell of a ding-dong, because we're going to say, well, under English law, that belongs to us. And every single other one is going to go, well, under our law, it belongs to us. And that's part of the problem of a legal system and a jurisdiction. Dicey puts it this way, and it's quite a nice quote that tends to stick with you, is that Parliament can ban smoking on the streets of Paris if it wants to. Enforcement might be a bit tricky, but, you know, if it wants to, it can ban smoking on the streets of Paris. It also causes something of a diplomatic problem. But this is actually working in our benefit on the cases that you mentioned and the Ofcom stuff, because we are living under massively tyrannical laws, and the idiot tyrants who we have few powers to stop until we can get a government that's on our side and actually, you know, refix the entire system. The idiot, they're so cocky, are they, in their ability to oppress us, that they're now oppressing Americans, which is really helpful, because the Americans are far too tough for them to handle, and the Americans are going to destroy them for us. Ofcom is not going to survive conflict with the United States. That will benefit us all. So it's because of this weird thing in which every legal system sees itself as absolutely able to pass laws anywhere in the world. America does too, which is why when their citizens are here, they tax them. And they say, well, we tax them because they're in England, but they're earning money, so we're taxing them. They've got all sorts of things that they do, and they get away with it. You know, so when you come to this, jurisdictional fight is a sort of might is right issue, which is why I sort of referenced the idea of a war over that floating gold asteroid. Because it just is going to be. But so when you conceive of our jurisdiction, you have to think that we can do anything. But that then is followed immediately by the political question of should we? And obviously we shouldn't have ever purported to control websites in America. But from our point of view, thank goodness we did, because it's really going to blow up in the petty tyrant's face. I think Elizabeth's asking a question. Hi, Stephen. Will you help me to understand injunctions and super injunctions, please? Yes. Elizabeth, shall I do a video for that, for you on that? Injunctions and super injunctions for Elizabeth to be done at some point during the week. Because I think it deserves its own little podcast. And I'll just explain injunctions and super injunctions, which means, can somebody DM me to say, you promised to do Elizabeth a video on, because otherwise I'll just completely forget. But if somebody could drop me a DM, that would be great. And then I'll do that. And that can be this week's forthcoming content, because I still think paid subscribers need more content. This is something I talk about all the time. I was talking to a friend of mine who's quite big on YouTube. And, you know, she was like, well, why don't you just move all of your stuff to YouTube? And it's like, well, I can't. For one, YouTube's not a community. I don't know anybody on YouTube. And it's just not. It's a hectic, mad place. It's too big to know people. It's like London. It's like, I don't know everybody in London. Whereas the Substack is just much more of a village to me. And I just think that why is Darren upset about pen and paper? Don't know. Hillary must DM Stu as Hillary is the boss. That's true. Yeah, Hillary has to do it. So that hopefully explains jurisdiction, Ian. Ian, if I haven't explained jurisdiction in a way that you understand, or if you have further questions on jurisdiction, again, DM me. Hopefully you're a paid subscriber and we can start getting more paid subscriber content. I love our village. Yeah, I do too, Leslie. I could never leave it for YouTube. It's just not the same thing. Maybe if I'd never started on Substack, it would be easier, but then I just would miss out. No, we are the lovelies, and we will have a party one day. By hook or by crook, we will have one. We will. Jim, Stephen, my question for Friday. How much would it cost to finance the prosecution of the government or individual ministers, then set up a crowdfunding page? I think it's a bit early to start trying to privately prosecute them, not least of all because they control all the mechanisms like the DPP and the CPS to take it over and shut it down. That won't be the true forever, but you asked a specific question about cost. It's funny because although the criminal barristers get very snooty and pretend that they're superior, they are paid far, 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 far less than I ever was or that my world is. So the costs, consequently, are far, 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 far less. You have to be conscious that if you lose or they're found not guilty, even though the rules say you shouldn't pay their costs because they'll be the government, you should factor that in and have insurance that you pay their costs. You can either take out insurance for that. Literally, there's a market for insurance in costs, or you can simply have the crowdfunder take them in. I would budget for a Crown Court trial somewhere in the region of 70, 75, 80, and then comparatively the same costs, or maybe a bit higher because they'd probably use ridiculously expensive silks. Who would be ridiculously expensive silk for the purpose of that case? In which case, I would want proof that the silk always charged that hourly rate, or that's what they got under legal aid, because I don't think that people should have to pay ridiculously inflated costs just because it was one of their lefty mates making a killing. Invite Lammy into our village and he will definitely be the village idiot. Yes, he will, Denise. And they would also drag it out. Yeah, Donna, I would urge Jim just to keep his powder dry for now, but hopefully, you know, the idea of the numbers makes it manageable and achievable. But I mean, I hope that we will see. I don't hope, because I hope it doesn't happen. But if it is necessary, I think the law should be used. I am not going to be one of those lawyers anymore who says things like treason just doesn't exist anymore. It's old fashioned. No, sometimes we need these things. These are part of a healthy human society. And if we sadly need them, then we sadly need them. Hey, hello, Stephen and the lovelies. The puberty blockers trial is breaking my heart, Kay. Is this a case of creating a cohort of prepubescents reaching the age of consent? I don't know, Kay. I think that's part of it. I just think it's evil. I think it's evil. I don't think anybody in this community needs to be told that the puberty blockers trial is evil. It is mutilation and sterilization of vulnerable kids. It is eugenics at best. And at worst, it's this idea of creating a child who is above the age of consent, which is just beyond grotesque. I have a friend, Charlie Bentley Astor. She's a journalist for The Times. And She went down this road. She now utterly regrets it. But she took these stupid drugs, and they now don't know if she's fertile or not. So every night, small person and I pray for Charlie, because I would like Charlie to experience the joy of being a mother one day and to have children. And I cannot believe the evil that they are doing. It is straightforward evil. And you don't need the law to tell you that. I know Elon Musk thinks this too. And we just, a coalition of the decent is already forming. Diane Abbott, I'm agreeing with two Labour MPs, Diane Abbott and what's his name? I've forgotten his name, but he was brilliant on it. He tweeted, "This is evil," yesterday, and tweeted, "This is evil" today. And I'm like, yes, we must all stand firm on this. And Claire Fox is horrified by all this. You cannot mutilate and sterilise vulnerable children as young as 10. No. Stop it. You are selfish, narcissistic weirdos, and I want you to stop. So it's a fight, but it's one we're going to have, Kay. And I shudder to think of anything to do with this. As I've probably mentioned, I'm sure I've mentioned it before. I like to live in a world where evil doesn't really exist. I like to imagine that people are decent and fundamental and good. So this is just unbelievably painful restoration of the reality of just how awful some humans are. Denise, good morning, Stephen and the lovelies. If we lose trial by jury, we lose our country. I agree. I think this is the most important hurdle we are facing. I agree. I have petitioned the king. Woohoo! Written to number 10. Woohoo! And made an appointment with others to see my MP. Star of the class. Woo! Woo! Denise, that is absolutely fantastic. Let's all be more Denise. Let's all use our constitutional rights. Make a fuss. Make a noise. Not shut up. Don't go away. Don't give in until we get our country back to sanity. You know, that's what we must do. And trial by jury is an excellent one to start to fight. The puberty blockers trial is an excellent one to fight. I know everybody only has so much fight in them. So if you want, just pick your fight, but let's fight. It's time to push back. Absolutely time to push back. Sigh. Good evening, Stephen and fellow lovelies. Stephen, if a couple are married in England, but subsequently divorce in a German court, are they then divorced under English law, or would they need to divorce in England? They would need to divorce in England, Sigh. Which is why if people have religious marriages that require divorce, they still, and are yet married lawfully in England, they still need to divorce through the English courts. So that's one of those things where when people worry about Sharia, it's often only the religious element that goes to the Sharia court, and then the substantive English element goes to English courts. Now, and I'm not saying that there aren't possible problems with abuse of Sharia, and I note that there have been abuse of the Beth Din. Yes, if you are married in English law, you must be divorced in English law, and only English law can divorce you. And actually the Germans would point that out to you at the time, because they wouldn't purport to be able to end an English law divorce unless they read that would cause another jurisdictional clash. It's like, you what? You're ending my divorces? Who do you think you are? That is not happening. So I love that question on jurisdiction. It is so important because it does. People find it so difficult. People think that a country only has legal authority within their borders, and that's a natural and logical position to have. And that might be the realpolitik quite a lot of the time, and as Ofcom is about to find out. But it's not true of jurisdiction. It's not how jurisdiction conceives itself. So, good question, Sai, on German divorces, Judith. My question has two parts. Judith has learned the ways of Hillary. Can this government be taken to court for the damage they've done to our country and people? No, they largely have immunity for civil liability. Can the front bench be sued by the families of rape and murder victims by these undocumented boat people? No, I don't think so. Who gave pathetic sentences? And then judges are, I'm afraid, protected. This is the problem. We need to fix the system, Judith. And I know, and I'm outraged, and I'm more than happy to speak publicly that sentences are pathetic. I know that when I started, I got immediate pushback from the regime shill criminal lawyers who said, the sentencing council set sentences. How can he say that they're too short? It's like, well, they are. He's not even a criminal barrister. How dare he say sentences are too short? I'm entitled to a political opinion, and, you know, yours is bad. If your political opinion is that people who download pedophilic images should not go to prison, you're bad. Okay, you're just a bad person. Yeah, morally bad person. They should definitely go to prison. Hurting children is one of the worst things we can do. So off to prison with you. And if you do anything worse to a child, then that's when I get, you know, life sentence style situation, and maybe even start reaching for the old black cap. Jem has a very moving story where it feels as though Jem is going through a very difficult time. I think I can't give Jem legal advice, but I can say, first of all, I can express my basic, you know, sympathy as a human being. Divorce is not easy. It doesn't sound as though you're going through a very nice one, or that your ex is behaving in a terribly decent way. People should behave in a decent way in divorce. If you think there isn't much equity, then you may not be able to afford a lawyer, but I would at least go to the Citizens Advice Bureau and ask them for assistance. And I would, if you think you can afford a lawyer, then DM me and I will try and find you as effective and as cost effective one as I can in your area. That's at least I can do. But the other thing you can do is take your husband to court and go to the hearing and explain everything very simply. There's loads of forms and there'll be a pain. I'm sorry about that. And it'll take months and months and months because there's a massive backlog. I'm sorry about that. But you will ultimately get into a room with the district judge. And although I don't think we should have district judges in criminal, and I will be pushing back against that, there are areas where I think district judges have been beneficial. And I think in family law, that's possibly one of them. They're not, the criticism you can make is that they're not always consistent. So there's a 1 in 10 chance you might get somebody who's rude and nasty. If that happens, just don't worry, come back again and get a different judge the next week. But in my experience, district judges have been very useful in helping people who can't afford lawyers, particularly on the finances of a divorce. They will often take in, so they might call in your ex-husband and you, and then say to him, look, you're being silly. If this goes to trial, she's obviously going to get this. You're obviously going to get that. So why don't you just agree it? And then if you write that as an order, I can make that today, and then this can all end. I mean, that's the type of thing that they can do. They're very, very useful. I didn't practice much in divorce, although I did occasionally do divorces, particularly if they involved anything particularly complicated, like a farm with a complex ownership structure or a trust or a company. I would also intervene in divorces, which is something that we invented as a way to protect trusts and companies, because, of course, they're not, although they exist, they're not living creatures, so they can't protect themselves. So I would come in to protect them. And I had a very long day at a county court. This is about 15 years ago, at a county court in Uxbridge, which is not in Uxbridge and is incredibly difficult to get to by public transport. And I got there in the morning and I just said to these two younger male barristers who were from the family division, who were arguing and bickering. And I just said, hi, I'm the intervener. This is my skeleton argument. The trust owns all of the major assets, so you should just divvy up the bit that remains, because the rest is going to the trust. And they spent all day ignoring me and bickering and fighting and chatting. And by the end of, literally, I just wasted an entire day and they completely ignored me. And then we walked in before the district judge and the district judge said, right, you two, Mr. Barrett is here for the trust. Mr. Barrett's quite clear that the trust owns this asset. I can't see how Mr. Barrett is wrong. Can you? And they just went, well, and then he sent them out, and we eventually settled the case at like 5:30, with them doing exactly what I had told them to do at 9:30 a.m. in the morning, because the trust owned the majority of the assets. And so there's nothing left for the bickering couple to fight over. Anyway, Jem, I want you to get help. So please do, please don't give in. Please do take advice from Citizens Advice Bureau and look for people who can support you in your local area. And do DM me if you feel that will be helpful. I'm happy for that to be done. And stand up for yourself. Know that you're of value and worth, because I always say that a divorce is a grieving process. As you might not like your ex at all, but it doesn't matter whether you like your ex or not. You're grieving for the ideal of the marriage that you wanted, for that dream that has died. And that's a very painful emotional process. And I hope you can get through that grief process. Everybody can, but it is a grieving process. And I think that even the family lawyers, I think, often don't notice that it is a grieving process. And that maybe your client is really angry at their ex because they're really angry that the marriage has died. And I think we should talk about it that way. And probably because I'm a trust lawyer and a company lawyer, and so I'm used to nebulous things and to, you know, living that aren't actually alive. And, you know, I take the view that a marriage is a thing that dies. And that's the grief, which I've been through, you know, and it's incredibly painful, and very sad. And I'm not one of those people who goes around recommending divorce. It's an awful idea. Has deceased now. Oh, Sarah. Very sad. Sarah's lovely. I've met Sarah in the flesh. We can always push through. Indeed we can. We can KBO. We can deal with anything, and we will deal with anything. Sometimes the sun goes around the moon. Sometimes a book on accuracy is a spoon. Just when we thought our chance had passed, I've gone and saved the best to last, which is obviously Hillary. And Hillary says, ooh, an early salve, Stephen. Is the early release of the budget a criminal act? I think we need to look into the early release of the budget. I'll say no more, but I'm going to do a YouTube video on it. And I think we really need to start pushing back. The early release of the budget by the OBR is outrageous. The behaviour of the Chancellor of the Exchequer lying about the contents of the OBR report and the lying about the black hole that did not exist in order to tax us more is outrageous. The leaking of the budget and the market manipulation that then followed is outrageous. It's time we got our country back by enforcing laws and rules. So watch this space when I'm not giving up on this budget. And also, is it a resigning matter? Yes. Two-tier says no. Obviously, he's certainly been resigning. Two-tier is just don't listen to the man. He lies. Well, I don't see the point of them. I think that this is the fundamental truth, is that you can disagree with me all you like. And I can make mistakes and be wrong, but I will never lie to you. That is just not, because once you lie, you are of no value to anything. No, you know, what our governments are liars. They are nothing. They're less than serpents. I mean, they're just nothing. And they've done that. They have chosen that path themselves. So that man has nothing now. He's not even a man really now in my eyes. He's less. Hillary goes on into her many questions. She popped up again. I was having a think about all the types of legal people or departments, if you will, that there are in Parliament. There must be many. Came across the Office of the Parliamentary Council, who I believe lawyers who draft, they are the lawyers who draft legislation. Go along and look at the Twitter account of the first, I think she's called the First Parliamentary Council or the Office of First Parliamentary Council. Go along and look at all the DEI in it, who I believe to be lawyers who draft legislation. That is true. I read that the Office of Parliamentary Council's work often begins when the idea behind legislation is conceived. Scrutiny to see if it's worthy. Yeah, they have too much political power. They're also really, really bad at drafting law. I wouldn't trust the Office of Parliamentary Council to draft any law. I think some MPs have noticed this, so they often ask the Commons clerks to help them draft it, or they try and draft it. People like Bill Cash can draft it themselves. But it's a huge problem that they are just inculcated in this idea that you write law badly and with many, many, many words, which is why there's 330 pages of proposed employment legislation on top of the existing area of employment law. This is insane. This is absolutely insane. We are drowning in words. How can justice survive? She is being drowned in words. Would you be able to explain a bit about this, or perhaps make it a subject of a little podcast? Maybe we will have a serious go at the Office of Parliamentary Council. I think that one should be free to view, because I think that feels like I always with the Constitution, I make it free because I think that's for everybody. But I promised Elizabeth one, and we can do that for paid subscribers. And if anybody has, did I promise anybody else one on paid subscribers? Let me know, DM me, and we'll get more content for paid subscribers and more articles and more explanations of things for paid subscribers. But are the Commons clerks those that sit in front of the speaker? It's usually the head of the Commons clerk, whatever. I can't remember. Don't know what his name is. I remember when it was Sir Geoffrey Wheeler Booth, and that was back in the days when it was a respectable person who actually knew what impartiality was and knew how to do their job. That has long passed. Brexit exposed almost all of the Commons clerks. It's completely politicised. They took a view on it, which they should never have done. And I believe they did all their best to conspire against it. I think they are not respectable, and I think the Office of Parliamentary Council is not competent. So we're in a dilly of a pickle, people, a dilly of a pickle. But don't you worry, we get through everything. We didn't survive two armadas and two world wars to be taken down by a bunch of wet, weak, limp-wristed Fabian Marxists who, you know, would fall over if you sneezed at them. But good. What's so sad? Oh, no, something sad has happened. Do we have any rights? I haven't seen my grandchildren for 3 years since my son's divorce. Oh, Jilly, that is awful. Yes, grandparents have rights. Depending on the age of the children, though, that's quite a long time to have not seen them. One of the problems with the family, and I don't agree with this, but the family division often just tries to maintain the status quo to not scare the children. But I think you should put forward a robust argument, and I can't give legal advice. If I were a grandparent, what I would do is, I would just go for it. You've got rights. It depends. I mean, if they're 16 and 14, then you can probably write to the 16-year-old and say, look, darling, we love you. You know, send a Christmas card, send a birthday card, or just darling, you know, just a darling, we love you letter. We'd love to see you. Don't have to be more than that. Don't guilt trip them. And whatever you do, don't criticize the mum, even though she is obviously bad. Just the golden rule of family law is don't actually criticize the bad people. Just focus on the children, what you can do for the children, how you will benefit the children, how much you love the children. And yeah, grandparents have rights. All sorts of people have rights to see children. Contact them on Facebook. I mean, that don't do anything that can be perceived as stalkerish or scary. And sometimes online can be perceived as a bit more in your face. Whereas granny wrote me a handwritten letter, very difficult to put, that just says, darling, I love you. We miss you terribly. We'd absolutely love it if we could see you sometime. That's very difficult for the other, because they always assume the other side is going to say that everything you've done is sinister and evil. So do everything you do in a way that cannot be portrayed as sinister and evil. If you can act, a 16-year-old, if you can accidentally bump into them in town, you know, you do that. Oh, Jilly. I'm so sorry. There are types of parents, male and female, who work very hard to cut off their child from their other family. I saw a deeply moving video. I don't mind admitting that I cried, of a dad in America who was cut off from his child for 30 years. And then eventually she contacted him. And they, for the last 20 years, they've been getting on like a house on fire and they adore each other. And it was just deeply, deeply moving. So it does happen, but just don't give up, Jilly. Don't give up and keep us updated. You know, be with the lovelies. Your son hasn't seen them either. He needs to fight. I mean, that's not legal advice. That's just parenting. He needs to fight. I know it's hard. I know representing yourself, if you can't afford it, is incredibly difficult, but believe me, the district judges are a lot better than they were, and Kafkas is a lot better than they were, and people understand that children need to see both parents. I couldn't imagine the harm it would do if my child didn't see either of us or didn't have a relationship with either of our families. I just think it is immeasurable damage to a child to do this. Children need it because they know that they're half of one and half of the other. So actually what an alienating parent does is say that half of you is wrong. It's like, that's not a message you want to tell any child. That's not love. And I think particularly to cut off from loving grandparents, I mean, that is just ridiculous, because what would you ever have done to her in order to justify that? I mean, how many times do most people see their mother-in-law? You know, it's not. I mean, I'm assuming, Jilly, you didn't stab her or stab the children with heroin or something. But other than that, you know, this is just, it's just people need to calm it down. And people, I campaign for, if I actually ever do wield any political power, I'm going to have the presumption of 50-50 contact. And I'm going to have that in law. And then I'm going to make it so that you can challenge that presumption, but only on a series of bases, like that you are, that the other parent is actively hurting the child. Because I do think that even if you have to co-parent with Satan, if Satan isn't going to harm the child, then that is better than anything else. And a lawyer called Charlotte Proudman does not take this view, but I genuinely take the view that even if somebody has committed domestic violence against you, if they're not going to do it against the child and you can be kept safe, then it is so important for the child to see the other parent. She is narcissistic. It is very common in our society, Jilly. We have become a narcissistic society. We need to speak against it again. Narcissism is a wrong. Brilliant, Jane. Fantastic idea. Brilliant. Yes. Gilly, do that. We are. I think we're all deeply moved for Gilly, aren't we? So we, the lovelies, will have to stay on top of this. And you don't have to share detail, but just know that we're here and we support you and we want you to see your grandchildren. And you can share anything you need to with us, or if you just need to get support from us, that's what we'll do. We're sending love and hugs, Gilly, because it's just monstrous. I really wish humans would not do this. As I say, I'm worried about the damage it's doing to your grandchildren. A 16-year-old is very much in the position that if the 16-year-old says, I want to see granny and granddad, the court is going to, nothing is going to stop the 16-year-old seeing granny and granddad. Okay? Because by the time they get to 16, the family court basically goes, it's their decision, totally their decision. Now, that can be very unfortunate if they have been brainwashed against you. But it's hard to be brainwashed. I mean, I adored my granny. I can't imagine how you could be brainwashed against your granny. You know, your grandmother was secretly Hitler. So I'm pretty sure she wasn't. So lots of love to Gilly. Sarah Squires, get call ready. Brilliant. Jane, you are being an absolute star. You were alienated as a grandmother too. This is awful. How could people cut children off from their grannies? Well, that's also pretty rubbish, CJ. Right, life is difficult. Maybe I'll do more on... Maybe I'll do a guide to the family court. I can do that. I mean, I won't just, like, write Stephen's guide to the family court. I will go away and look at all the free resources and then write it in a simple and accessible way. That's what I'll do. For Gilly, there's going to be a guide to the family courts. Hillary, remind me about this, but I don't think I'm going to forget this one. We are here for you. Denise is absolutely right. Jane is an absolute star. Absolute star, Jane. You are now the top of the class. Sorry, Denise, but this is just, Donna, I don't do enough for paid content. I really don't. Pen and paper, write these down. Yeah, Darren, don't worry, one day, but, not today. Good. Everybody. Gilly, we just, all our hearts are with you. We will be there. Hillary's got the list. Hillary's the secretary. Please go away and try and have a lovely evening. And I can't wait for the day when Gilly gets to see her grandchildren again. So that's what we're all going for. And because I'm a Christian, we will pray as well. And if you're not a Christian, I don't mean to offend you. That's just something we do as a family. So we'll just pray for you and your grandchildren. So good night, everybody. It's been slightly longer than I thought, but gosh, it's been moving. And this is the point. So I would never got any of this from YouTube, would I? You can't get anywhere near. It's just, this is real. YouTube is a force of, it's some sort of fakey thing. So we're never giving away up on this community. Best wishes to all the lovelies. If you're watching this and you're not a lovely, that's a paid subscriber, please do consider becoming a paid subscriber. It's massively helpful. And we are always trying to find ways to get extra content for you. Good luck to everybody. Please go and have a lovely weekend.